Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
Triple M rocks the footy.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
G'day, buddy. Lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon, all heading towards the kickoff, 3 o'clock. The Knights taking on the Dragons in beautiful Newcastle. Ryan Girdler, I'm a little bit nervous this afternoon. Wendell Saylor arrived saying the words that we always fear. I've had 10 hours sleep.
Yeah.
It's I'm a ready concern, to go. Tone.
It's yeah. a huge
He's got some energy.
Yeah, I know. He's feeling on the tips of the toes.
He's feeling really good today, boys. It's been a really good week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after Origin, sometimes there's a little bit of a down period.
Yeah.
You get a bit sort of, you know, disappointed that Origin's over, even though we've won again Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
But just like last night, Brad McNamara, like I love him. He's a great boss. Got me a room at the Ridges. And, mate, just shut it down for 10 hours.
Love when you're on a high, Wendell, as long as it's all natural. Hey, Tony, what are you...
It's all natural, Goose.
What are you nervous about? I thought you were going to say you were nervous about the Dragons and the Knights today. What are you concerned about your team? Your club, I mean, the Swannies went down last night.
Yeah.
You concerned about the Dragons this afternoon?
You know what? I'm not. A lot of people have. Matthew Johns on this very radio station said, I think it was yesterday, that he was looking forward to getting to Newcastle. He's got a good feeling about the Knights this afternoon. Everybody thinks that because the last time around they did test the Dragons.
They did. What was it? 28-10 at half time and the Dragons got out of jail, got themselves
28.
In a little bit of a predicament last week, the Dragons.
Yeah, that's true. But they came through strongly in the end. I'm very, very, very confident about what's going to happen for the big red V this afternoon in Newcastle. Just speaking of footy and enjoying yourself in an afternoon, Gerds, last week this time, we learnt that you were taking your daughters along to the footy at beautiful Pepper Stadium for their first live football experience. How was it?
They had The first half was a little bit boring for them. They enjoyed the cheer girls, and the cheer girls obviously get more involved when Penrith score points. So that happened a fair bit in the second half, and it was a beautiful afternoon out there. There was a good crowd in the second half. The Panthers put on a little bit of a clinic, so they really enjoyed it. Yeah, they had a great experience. And they went up and sat under the box and watched the boys call and waved the flag, got them a couple of flags on the way in. There was 2-for-1, so I took the offer. And... got them, a pie and sat up there and we all enjoyed the afternoon.
I love it. Really cool. How's your week, Ben?
Yeah, super tone. Big week of footy, isn't it? How good's the Parramatta Eels going at the moment? So, big result last night, 5 in a row, and otherwise, never a dull second in the great game of rugby league.
We're going to speak to Brad Arthur very, very shortly. I spoke to him on Dead Set Legends on Wednesday night and told him without Clint Gutherson, it was all over for the Eels.
I've been saying it for a long time, Tone. You're a very good judge.
Don't tell you.
But, Tone, even last night, it meant a lot, that game, to the Eels, because BA, he doesn't come down on the sideline like Ricky Stewart, but he was down there and he was riding that wave of motion last night.
They got a really good draw in.
Well, it's the first time under Brad Arthur as well that the Eels have won 5 in a row.
Yes.
So they're powering at the
2009. In 2009, we know it was a good year for the Panthers. For the Eels, sorry.
See, that's what 10 hours sleep does to you. Shut us around about.
Shut up, mate. You're an idiot, mate.
Wait a second. Is Sharp as a roundabout your own? Or have you taken that from somebody else?
Where's that?
Can't be honest.
I think it might have been 1 year ago, yeah. Sharp as a squash ball, sharp as a roundabout.
That's very good. I'm
squash
just writing
it out,
that down.
Mate. Squash it out.
I will be using that. Because I am sharp at the moment. I did get a haircut during the week.
You got a bit of stubble too, Tony.
I went to one of those, a barber. Well, it's not really. It's a modern barber, where a bearded hipster in a leather apron cuts your hair. It's terrific, and they charge you $60.
I was about to say, I'd love to be able to go to the barber, but after that description, I'm actually not that keen.
Not much room for you to go to the barber. Not much reason for you to go to the barber, actually.
They still let old guys like you into those trendy hipster sort of places?
They do. As long as you've got a lot of cash in your pocket, they don't care.
So it's kind of 25 for the young hipster. And 60 the old guy comes in for
it. You're bringing our image down. Thank you so much. I'm going to move on right now. Remember, of course, you can. We've got a little segment called the Twitter Hot Seat later in the show. Basically, this is where you get to ask us any question you like, and we will endeavour to answer that question. So we're going to do it. All you do is go to at @MMNRL. Put your question there and we'll get to you in roughly an hour's time. So much to get to. As I said, we'll chat with Brad Arthur very, very shortly. We'll check in with Anthony Griffin from the Panthers as well. We'll listen to what Josh Reynolds had to say and talk all things Bulldog as well. Plenty ahead. Saturday, MMNRL. Doing it for Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. MMM doing what it does best, just rocking the footy for you on a Saturday afternoon. Wendell Saylor is, this definition it's of distracted really, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a little bit distracted.
Sure, he's had 10 hours sleep, sure he's primed, ready to go, lots of energy, but his son Tristan is also playing in the under-20s as we speak, 22-all with Newcastle. He scored a try earlier. Dell was very, very excited. It's hard to take your eyes off the game, though, isn't it, Wendell?
Well, it's a good game. Newcastle and the Dragons, I think they played the last time, and they were toe-to-toe. I think it was third versus fourth. Dragons are in second place now, and I think the Knights are in eighth. So young Jack Johns, Matty Johns' young bloke scored a try before, but these two always go out at these two teams, so it's pretty good.
You enjoying watching Tristan run around, though, every weekend?
Oh, it's been good, especially last Sunday down there at Wynn Stadium. 9:30 start, not complaining, and then watch the Women's Origin, New South Wales. As I tipped to you guys, they won that one. Mm-hmm. So, it's good to sit there and just watch as a dad.
All right, let's have a look at the Tyre Power scoreboard, see what has happened in the NRL this round so far. The Panthers over the Bulldogs, 16-8. The Warriors and the Sharks in New Zealand. It was the Sharks, the Premiers, getting over the top, 26-12. And, of course, last night in what was a terrific game of rugby league, the Eels over the Broncos, 28-14. Coming off the back of having two tries scored against them early, the Eels looked superb in the second half. And we are joined by Supercoach, Mr. Brad Arthur. G'day, Brad.
Afternoon, boys. How you going?
Very well, thank you. I was just saying that we spoke on Wednesday on Dead Set Legends. I said the prevailing feeling of no Clint Gutherson, no premiership. Suddenly, you guys just played beautiful footy.
Yeah, I thought it was a good game, and both teams played really well. The Broncos started fast, and we got a couple of tries at the death, which probably wasn't a true indication of how tight the game was. And it was end-to-end footy, and I think the ball in play time was 7 minutes more than average, so it was a really fast game.
Not just that, BA, it was the quality. I mean, obviously the boys were happy to spread the ball around, but you guys completed almost 90% and the Broncos at 82%. I mean, it was semi-final-like football last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, the completions were high, but there was plenty of movement and pass on the football. And, I think the average sets were 50 metres a set. So that's a fair bit of run in the game, fair bit of pass in the game. But I think both teams' concentration levels were really high.
BA, congratulations. First time under your tenure that the Eels have won 5 straight and you're headed for September. I wanted to ask what you think of the combination between Mitchell Moses and Corey Norman and how it's developing for you.
Yeah, it's getting better. It's just, I know time is not on our side, but it does take a bit of time. And you've got to remember, these blokes haven't had a pre-season together and, they've had weeks in terms of their training time. And, it was better again last night. I thought our kicking game was shared around. We had 7 different kickers last night, which took a bit of pressure off Normie, where, in the past he's probably been our sole kicker. They're getting used to playing with each other, and Normie popped up a few times on that right edge, and he's really allowing Mitchell now to take control of the team and inject himself when he needs to.
Hey, BA, it's Dell, mate. Look, I know that you lost Clint Gutherson, and some people were saying the season might be pretty tough for you guys now, but I've got to say, what Bevan French brings to a team is unbelievable. For his size and his footwork, I just love watching him play, mate.
Yeah, he's just a footballer. He knows where to be. He can turn, half opportunities into points. We've had our fair share of injuries this year, and I've got to give credit to the whole squad, all the boys that have had to come in have aimed up and done their job. And Bevan was our first choice at the start of the year as a fullback, and he got injured, which gave Gutho a chance, and Gutho stepped up. So we're very happy with Bevan, and long term I still think fullback's his best position.
Brad, a couple of parts to this question. Firstly, Nathan Brown, was he taken off last night? Did he cop a shot to the jaw? Is he okay?
No, he's fine. He come off with concussion. The tackers, when he went up to catch that ball right at the end, hitting with his knee straight in his head. But he's fine. He's 100%.
Can you just tell us a little bit more about his game? Obviously, came to you guys as sort of a front rower. Was it your decision to sort of put him in that middle and give him a little bit more opportunity with the football? Because he's certainly got nice, soft hands and certainly hasn't lost any of his aggressive style.
Yeah, when I watched him at the back end of last year when he was playing for South, and South finished last year really strong, and I think it was a lot of their points come on the back of an offload or a pass that, you know, or something he done in the set. And you know, so when we got him in the pre-season, you know, after a couple of sessions, we could see that he had a really good pass and he had really good skill set, you know, and it was just a matter of getting him nice and fit and strong, and being able to, the plan was always to try and get him to become an 80-minute player, which he wanted to do, and he's managing to do that well now. He's just still got some parts of his defence that he's got to get on top of, but he's working hard and he's aware of that.
Matt Kenny Edwards said as he looked at the replay, if he'd had his time again, he wouldn't have done that little hit on Jonas Pearson. But he's just an interesting character, Kenny Edwards, isn't he? When you watch him from the outside, he can be annoying to his teammates, certainly to the opposition. He's in everything. What sort of bloke is he like off the field?
Yeah, he's pretty relaxed, a bit of a joke, off the field. But he's a competitor, and, you know, look, he's a winner. He wants to win, and, you know, that the tackle last night, the tackle wasn't complete. He wanted to play with plenty of aggression. I don't think he didn't make contact to the head, and he probably didn't see the hit before it anyway.
What about Michael Jennings, BA? He made his name as a left centre, but more recently he's been playing on the right. Is that to help Mitchell Moses in defence, or what was your line of thinking there?
There's a few reasons around it. Tackers and Buller have got a good combination on that left side, and that left side, you know, with Normie and Manu there is quite dangerous, so we want to get them back together. Jenko probably carries the ball on his right, and, you know, and he's, a lot of his attack is probably better down that right-hand side of the field. And then the defensive part of it is, I think he's one of the better defensive centres in the competition. And we were leaking some points early in the year down that right edge, and since he's been put there, you know, he just brings that real composure and calmness, and everyone's on the same page over there on that side of the field.
Well, you've got, obviously, next couple of weeks, the Dogs, then you've got the Titans, and you've got the Knights all there, all winnable games. I mean, a realistic goal now, BA, would be top four.
Yeah, well, we still haven't quite managed to get an 80-minute performance out. Last night was our closest. 80 minutes, and that's really the goal for us at the moment. And if we can manage to get 80-minute performances together and win games of footy along the way, well, you know, hopefully that gets us close enough to a strong position for the semi-finals.
Hey, BA, just on the sideline last night, I don't see you down there much. Riding that roller coaster, mate, I love watching that.
Yeah, it's you can't do a lot of coach. You miss a lot of stuff down there, but what you don't miss is the intensity and the effort the boys are putting in, and, you know, and the real intent, and, you know, you get to see the body language up front and personal, and, you know, a bit of a change every now and then. I don't mind it.
And what about the junior footy we can hear in the background there? Anybody dominating behind you as we speak?
The boys just won 50-0, so it's
they're on fire. As are the Parramatta Eels, which is always good for footy when they're doing it. Congratulations on the season so far. Thanks for having a chat.
Oh, thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
There he is, Brad Arthur. They did look impressive in a game which could have been, you know, we've spoken about the Broncos, and they've kind of been on the rise as well. That was impressive.
Well, Wayne Bennett coach sides, usually a couple of weeks after Origin, he starts to get them building into that final series. So for him last night, he would have picked that game and said, listen, boys, you know, we got to be on. These guys are real top eight sort of team. He knew what was at stake last night. And 12-0 after 10 minutes, I'm just thinking, they're going to score by 20 down that left edge. I'm just carving them up, you know. And then they did well just to get back in the grind. And Mitchell Moses said it full time. He said once they knew that they got the rhythm, they got into the flow of the game, that they would get back. So that's confident. That's a confident team right there.
Leading into last night, Wendell, having watched the Broncos over the course of the last month, I actually thought if anyone's going to trouble the Melbourne Storm, perhaps it might be the Brisbane Broncos, because they were just building, they were winning, they were getting players back at the right time. McCulloch came back.
Darius came back last
Darius,
night.
Darius is back.
It was good. Yeah.
And obviously Milford came back as well after suffering that shoulder injury. So I just thought that maybe they might have been a little bit of a top four smoky that could actually mount a charge. But after last night, I've got to say, losing McCulloch, we think he's now going to be out for between, well, I spoke to the Broncos earlier. It looks as though it's a medial and 4 to 6 weeks. He'll have scans today and they'll confirm everything on Monday. But it does look as though he'll be missing until the finals. So that's a big blow.
What makes Parramatta so dangerous now is the fact that they've got too hard. They haven't got a really big pack, so they're not the sort of side that are going to go over there and just dominate you through that middle third. They certainly hold their own, and they work on line speed, and they've got some aggressive players. We spoke about Brown and Mao and those guys. But what's really good about them now is the fact that they've got these two really creative halves, one on each side of the field, and they can play off them so much. And that's what they did last night. They played with so much width but so much control last night, where the Broncos just couldn't go with them in the end. And they don't need to go through sides. So, yeah, they've got their own distinctive style, which I found, especially last night, was really attractive to watch. High completion rate, as Brad said, like they concentrated really hard last night. There was a semi-final-like intensity, and they just showed that they've got a really difference to their game that can trouble any side.
Mitchell Moses has been great. I think since he joined the Eels, Gerds, it's now 7 out of 9 that Parramatta have won since he's been there. I'm not saying he's the sole reason, but as you just pointed out, what he does is being able to free up Corey Norman and just have two different points when they've got the football in terms of X factor and danger. It really is working well.
Haven't been in the final since 2009. How far can they go? Eels fans, you might want to call and gloat at any time. 1-3-3-5-3. Love to chat with you. Just seconds to go in the Holden Cup and Newcastle going in to score
Jack Johns
again.
Over.
Jack Johns. We'll take it to 30 Tristan points Salah to assist. 22. Sagan.
Don't throw the kid under the bus.
Tristan Saylor's chip, it wasn't on.
Well, so it was an all or nothing play. Yeah, the bell is about to go.
It was certainly nothing.
They were already behind.
Mate, at least he's trying to win. He's trying to win the game.
Winner, mate. He's a winner. That's why he's there, mate.
So it's 30-22 in the 80th minute, full time, but there is a kick to come. Newcastle, the Knights have beaten the Dragons in the Holden Cup, which will be flipped around come NRL time later this afternoon. You'll hear it right here.
Confident.
On Saturday, Triple M NRL for Brighton's Lawyers.
1, 2, 3, 4. Never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere.
Listen to that crap.
I'm saying hallelujah.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Oh, Tony.
Yes?
We're copping 10 hours of
sleep.
Rest from Wendell.
I know.
But you know what I'm excited about,
him,
boys?
What
aren't you excited about?
Actually, I'm
about.
Not excited at the Dragons.
I can go quicker to go through the things you're not excited about.
Well done. Well done to Newcastle. Jack Johns, 2 tries and man of the match. I'm excited about it. I'm calling this afternoon with Ryan Girdler. Uh-huh. Sterlo's sick. So
Sterlo's part of that.
Wait, back
excited
up.
About. Back together with Sterlo being sick.
I'm excited to call with you. I haven't called with you for a long time, mate.
Back
it's
up,
been,
Sparky, because you were so excited to call with Sterlo.
Sterlo, the
remember
that discussion where he said, oh, and this year I'm calling with Sterlo. Oh, yeah, but I love calling with you two girls.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, Sterlo, you just need to put him give him a little bit of a break, and I just need you in today, mate. I just feel like
I'm happy to be back with you, big boy.
Yeah, you too.
Because we are the voice, the Triple M voice, we will get to as well. So in terms of learning, because that was your big learning curve with Sterlo, and he's not here this week, obviously. So in that patch of games that you've had together, well, what have you learned from the great man?
I'll give you time to think about that, because the good thing about today is I know I'm going to be critiqued at the end of the session, which is great.
Yeah, no.
Because I'm working with Wendell, and after we sit down and we're going to discuss, you know, what we could have done better.
He gives you notes.
How our preparation was.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, does he have an air check? Do you go back and play some bits and pieces where he goes through it and just says, look, Ryan, I like what you did there, but perhaps next time if you go this way.
Only when he's got time, Tony.
Okay, yeah, because he's busy. A lot of people on the agenda. Yeah, go on.
No, the first couple of weeks I worked with Sterlo, you just sort of, you get mesmerised by Cornerbine because he's done it for so long, and he sees the game differently, obviously. I played outside back, played fullback for Queensland, obviously, played a bit of back row, but but how he sees the game, you sort of get caught up in it because you're calling with him and you bring stuff in, and he's very good at bringing you into different stages, because sometimes you can sit there and just like listen to him. So, and then all of a sudden, I think Maroon said one time, he goes, mate, Del, are you giving anything today? So you do get caught up in it, but it's going to be good working with Gerds again today.
Right. I can't wait to listen to it. That's from 3 o'clock. You will hear it right here. Okay, Laurie Dale, let's go a couple of the big issues of the week. And you know, I honestly thought that we'd had enough of State of Origin, that it's all the way through next year, but there is stuff going on. And certainly one of those things, James Hooper is the coach.
Yeah, sadly, Tone, winners can laugh and losers have meetings. And so the Blues, New South Wales Rugby League, had another meeting yesterday. It was allegedly an informal board meeting, whatever that is, but I believe it was scheduled.
They sandals and socks.
They had it at Canberra Leagues Club. And Laurie Daly did go in. and present to the board, Tone. So we believe, as it stands at the moment, that Laurie is keen to go on with the job. He'll be on NRL 360 on Monday on Fox League. So we'll look forward to watching Kenty and B.I., Ben Eichen, and Buzz Rothfield questioning him about the series. But we believe that Laurie does want to go on, and that in all likelihood he'll be offered a one-year extension, Tone.
Is that any surprise to any of you gentlemen that he would, A, want it, and B, that it would be granted to him?
I'm a little surprised that he wants to go on.
Yeah.
Just during the series, and especially even before the series, I just got the kind of impression that, it might be his last series. But look, obviously he's a really competitive guy, Loz, and he wants that win, doesn't he? I mean, you know, that would have crushed him not coming home with that series. So I understand from a competitive nature aspect that he would certainly want to go around again. Look, whether he gets it or not, New South Wales Rugby League, I think it's a big decision. I mean, 6 years is a fair time at any level, or you know, to be, you know, the coach, and there's other pretty good candidates out there that, you know, State of Origin is just one of those things that I know Mal had the tenure for such a long period because he was so successful at that time, and why would you change anything?
Yep.
But, you know, it's one of those things that I think should sort of be handed around. Different people should get opportunities to try their different methods at that level because, you know, just like the players, it is a kind of a bit of a reward as well for a coach to get an opportunity to coach their state. So, look, either way, I mean, won't lose any sleep if Loz gets it. He puts his heart and soul into it. But I wouldn't mind getting to see someone else have the opportunity.
How influential is the coach in reality at that level, Wendell?
Well, you could see over the last probably 10, 12 years what Mel and, Kevy have done with Queensland. So influential because not just the way they coach, but it's also, you know, the senior players that they have around them, and you've got to have that respect. So the coach can't be there all the time, as you know, and even on days off and stuff. So that's when your senior players come into making the right choices. But I'm quite surprised that Laurie would go again, because by the end of it, it just looked like it taken so much out of him. Because I know, we all know, it should have been over in game two. We know that, okay? And I reckon that's why Laurie, part of him thinks, you know what, we nearly got that. I know it's 6 years, isn't it, we're talking about now? I think he thinks he can get those things that he got wrong this year, get them right next year.
All right, look, it's a topic that I imagine Paul Kent will have a go at tomorrow on Sunday Triple M NRL. I'm talking about concussion here. I had a story in today's Telegraph, and it is about the effect. And we've all been talking about concussion, and it's been brought back to the light of day with what happened to Billy Slater, that hit on him, and his admission that he'd basically lost 2 weeks. So, therefore, it's not just the penalty of the players. It's the notion of what's going to happen long-term. And we all know it's been replayed on Fox recently, the concussion in the film, which is phenomenal. What's going to happen? Martin Lang, in Paul Kent's column today, comes out, and he's a man who ran headfirst into every collision.
Yeah.
It was just a remarkable career.
He was an animal.
Absolutely. He said he wouldn't want his loved ones to play any contact sport.
Mm. Mm.
And that's a huge call, isn't it? Where do we go?
You can't take these situations lightly, Tony. No. And I sometimes have a tendency to do that. But, I mean, isn't that why the skull is the hardest part of the body? I mean, no matter what level of sport you play, I mean, you can't put yourself in a glass case. And, and look, professional sport's one thing. But, I mean, look, even, you know, obviously boxing's another sport where, you know, you get a few. Look at MMA these days. And even with soccer, you know, those centre forwards up there that head the ball coming at a certain, a certain rate of knots every day. So, I mean, you know, there's just, you put yourself in the position to get knocked around the head in so many different forms, or it's hard to just come out and say, well, I don't want my kids doing any sports that involves contact. I mean, what are they going to do, Tony?
We know in the NFL,
they're going to be dancers.
Well, that's right. You can fall over. The NFL, they wear the helmets, but the results, the testing has been damning in that sport. So it's, you kind of try to work out how you in fact do it. How do you do, you know, protect the athlete sometimes from themselves?
Well, the reason why they've tweaked so many rules over the course of the last few years, Tone, the shoulder charge is a classic example. We now see any contact with the head at all is a big no-no in terms of, we saw Sir Soliola and what happened with Billy Slater. So look, clearly concussion, it's a very, very serious issue. You look at the work that Dr. Bennett Omalar did overseas, and you mentioned that film Concussion earlier. The research is all there. It is an issue. It is dangerous. It's one of those hazards that if you're going to decide that you want to go down the road of professional sport, well, you got to be prepared that if you're going to
is it just
ticket,
in professional sport though? Is it just professional sport? I mean, wouldn't it?
No,
I
don't think it is just professional.
It'd be weekend. It'd be social sport.
Absolutely.
It'd be any
yeah,
sort
it's anybody
of sport.
Who wants to play sport. Yeah, that you have to be aware that you're putting yourself in that arena, and that if you get knocked out, then one of the side effects could be that you're going to get nicked in the head a little bit.
I think Kurt's brought up a few months back. Remember when Richie Barnett and I had that head clash? Mate, they reckon
in a test match, yeah.
Test match, at Allianz or SFS. Mm. I think the doctor said at the time that was equivalent to a car accident, like the accident that happened.
And you were the car.
Yeah. But they reckon. But to be honest, like, no, it's unfortunate. I remember ringing his missus like after the operation to see if he was all right. They reckon he died for like 30 or 40 seconds. Yeah. Like he flatlined and was there. So he's got But I saw him a couple of years ago and we were all sweet at the Nines. Richie, he's still got his good looks, but yeah, and then that year he ended up playing, I think, the World Cup still. So.
What about just normal headgear, JT-style headgear? Should everybody be forced to play in that? I mean,
is there any clinical results, Tony,
that show?
I heard that, you know, it helps with, you know, certain aspects to potential jaw injury and has, you know, I can't see the headgear doing a hell of a lot, but I could be wrong. It'd be really annoying though, wouldn't it, to wear?
Yeah, you're right.
I think it's great that the kids do it when they're developing, but I'm not sure what are the clinical results.
I played at a great level, but I wore headgear one day and it was hot, and I just never wanted to wear it ever again.
Did you also look stupid? Because I look stupid in a hat because I got a round face, you know, and the headgear really wouldn't have flattered me at all.
Can you get a picture?
I've got a good head for radio.
Can you get a picture of me with you and headgear? I want to see that. Can you ask your mum or dad or you? I'd love to see that. Can you please?
Look, there's plenty of other issues we're going to grab as we tackle the big issues. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. As we go through this afternoon, we're also going to chat very shortly to Anthony Griffin after the Panthers, their win over the Bulldogs 16-8. What does that mean for Des Hasler? That conversation continues to bubble along. We'll hear from Josh Reynolds as well. There's so much ahead on Saturday, Triple M NRL. Some talking heads for you there musically and some talking heads for you right here on Saturday, Triple M NRL. Before we do that, as I look to that Tyre Power scoreboard, the Warriors and the Sharks. The Sharkies 26-12 winners. If you missed it, just catch up with some of these match highlights.
Thanks to Cbus. Whether you're on the tools or in the office, Cbus is built to last. Triple M NRL highlights.
We begin. The Warriors receive and they're running to the northern end. Townsend pokes and grab a kick. Into the goal! Has an air swing. Capel gets there first and grounds it.
Capel, well, he got a lovely bounce. It kicked up for him and he came through and just got his body in front of Mamalo and comes up with the Sharkies' first try.
Played to Seguiala. Goes to the open left to Townsend. Dumps it infield to Hynington. Hynington is tackled, but he underarms an offload. Away now to Seguiala, but he throws an intercept. Away to Carter. The race is on. Holmes is coming, but he's not going to get him. Goodbye. Carter scores for the Warriors.
A great take by Qatar, and then G showed a clean pair of heels there, had some Cronulla Speeders on his tail.
Oh, he throws a pass here, which is dropped by Lenore. It's picked up on the bounce by Brown, puts the foot down, and he gets over. Play the loop, throws to the open right to Ford, runs at the line, yet gets a pass on to Lenore, short pass to Thompson, and the play comes off. Thompson through. Play now to Clydesdale, goes to the left here to Townsend, gets it on the ground. Graham away to a running Holmes. Holmes away to Latelli, gets it onto an unmarked Fecky, and Fecky gets over in the corner. Here's Lewis, goes to the open left of Fafita. Beautiful offload to Pryor. Two on one, but the pass is astray. Picked up anyway by Bakuya. Slips off a tackle, plunges over for a try.
I've got try, mate.
But Cronulla, and they win tonight 26-12.
Yeah, the Premiers, the Sharkies, still just racking up those 2 points each week. This time over the Warriors, Ryan Girdler, were you impressed by the Sharkies, or was it just kind of a job they had to get done and got done?
Oh, no, not easy to go over there in those sort of conditions. And, high completion rate. I think it was all about, you know, the focus on their game as opposed to what the Warriors were going to do. Because, I mean, statistically, the Warriors this year aren't going too bad. I mean, they complete more than the other team in the competition. They're up around 80% per week. And when you look at the personnel on their side, you just wonder why they can't come up with points. But again, last night, they just didn't threaten. They scored basically off a couple of sort of Sharks errors, an intercept and something else. But with some of the guys in their lineup, like Tuivasa-Sheck and these guys, they never get the ball in the right moment. or in space or with opportunity. They always just get it on the back of, I don't know what it is they're doing with the ball when they complete all these sets, but they're certainly not challenging defensive lines. But yeah, look, the Sharks were, they were clinical. They went over there to do a job. Maloney's out, so you know, good to get another one with him. Brown was good. Copped a really heavy knock in that game that was actually quite sickening. Was, I thought it was worse than Billy's knock last week.
Was there a knee lift in there?
Really hard to say. Technique was poor. Like, he got his head on the wrong side. They are looking at it. It did go on report. Yeah. But, gee, I'll tell you what, the Warriors did get some really poor decisions in the back end of that game. Chechen was a ref, and he's just low on confidence at the moment. Look, we don't want to, you know, put the boot into the refs, but... some of the decisions in that game when the game was in the balance, like that was in that instance, he was running the football. Brown sort of went low and got his head on the wrong side. There was a little bit of a knee lift, but it was more like of a surge, like into the line. And they got the Sharks got a penalty for that. And he got put on report, and they kind of scored on the back of that. And then there was a couple of other decisions where Gale sort of went through, went to offload, dropped the football, went forward. That was allowed to play on. There was like three decisions in a row at about the 60-minute mark when the Warriors were kind of still in the contest that all went for the Sharks, and that certainly helped their cause. But, yeah, good win, and they take the points.
So with Maloney out, he's got a couple of weeks, hasn't he? And Brown now out for, well, we don't know how long. They'll be looking for a six. Maybe Jack Bird has to have a little play around.
He'll be back next week.
Look, he didn't play last night because of that sternum injury that he picked up a couple of weeks ago. But look, no doubt, I heard Shane Flanagan speak after the game at the press conference, and he said, yeah, Jack's not far away. So it's an obvious replacement, isn't it, Tone?
Luke Lewis, I mean, he played his 300th last week, but he had a top game.
He's just he's just the ultimate professional. Yeah. And, you know, look, I know when Laurie Daly a couple of years ago wanted
to go. That was, in my view, that was a really poor call.
Terrible
in hindsight,
call.
When you look back at it now, yes. He's playing such good football. He should still be in the New South Wales State of Origin setup. He's not a natural leader. He did captain at Penrith for a while. He's not a natural leader in terms of actually being captain of the side, but he leads by his actions, and he just sets a great example
for
the younger generation of players.
On and off the field, 100%. And he holds people accountable.
That's right. Yeah.
And he's a sort of bloke, when you're in a team environment, you don't have to say too much. He just gives you that look, and then you know that he, mate, for his age, to do what he's doing, in that first 20 minutes I heard you guys last night, him and Fifita were just
great.
ripping into it. And those are the hard games to do. Away, you know, the Warriors over there, you know, a bit wet and windy, those sort of games.
Came up with a great try saver early, Wendell, where he held the ball. The Warriors were over, it was just a brilliant tackle. One of those 1% effort plays, but just Luke Lewis all over.
Conversation doesn't really change about the Warriors year to year, does it?
Oh, geez, they're disappointing, Tone. it's another abject failure. 7 wins for the season, given the roster that they've got. You know, some people were tipping they could make the grand final. Plenty of people were saying, well, they have to make the finals this season. I don't know what the answer is, but it's not working.
It's got to be culture because they've had so many coaches. It has to be the culture. Some of the players have got to take some
ownership
as well.
The culture was all right when Ivan Cleary was there.
That's right. And also Daniel Anderson. But still, something's got to change with some of the players there. They've been in the game that many times this year, especially.
Well, Ryan Hoffman's I would have thought he's a pretty bloody good player in terms of culture.
Yeah, but it's not just him. I'm talking about those other players in the team. There's 16 other players there, and that's what they just need to get right. Now, you talk about preseason, that's when you bond and say, okay, boys, this is what we're going to do it. And even when it's going a bit tough, you've got to have a plan B and a plan C. So that comes back to the coaching and sort of the senior players as well.
Let me ask you this. Do they, like Gerd's touched on a moment ago about how they have one of the best completion rates in the NRL, which is terrific statistically, but the results don't reflect that. Do they play too dour?
Yeah, they do. They play too structured. Play too structured. Like when Paul McGregor a couple of years ago and I think Steve Price, they play too structured. With those sort of players, those big strong forwards that they got through the middle there and Ben Madalena, you've got to have that second phase play. The Broncos do it. Parramatta Reels, you know, the really good sides, Melbourne Storm can do it. And that's where you split teams apart,
The concern for the Warriors is the fact that they've bought two players and they spent a lot of money on Luke and Tuivasa-Sheck in the prime of their careers.
Yeah.
And they've both gone downhill since they got there.
Yeah, you're right.
If I'm the owner of that club, and look, everyone talks about, and we know that the coaches that's moved on in the last 4 or 5 years over there, it seems to me like it's got to come right from the top. It seems like they need to go out, and I don't know how they do it, but they need to get someone like a Bellamy or someone like a Bennett, someone that's actually bigger than the club, and goes over there and says, I don't care about this Warriors football. I don't care about the board. I'm not worried about my job. I'm just going to have my way with this group of men and bring in the people that I need to bring in and get this place headed in the right direction. Because at the moment, Stephen Kearney, he's achieved some things in relation to
okay, so they're completing really highly. You know, defensively, their errors are down, and those little parts of the game which he's fixed up. But the bottom line is they're not winning games. So they need an absolute overhaul to the point where, you know, someone just comes in and just gets it done.
Yeah, well, you're right. As I said,
and it's players and coach.
Strip it all back, rip it to pieces, start again. Well,
do you reckon they need a new coach now?
Well, I don't know. Look,
yes or no? It's just a simple answer.
I think they certainly need to make changes, and I would be looking at players at this point. I would be trying to get some new personnel. We know Kieran Foran, who was great last night. Last week in that game against the Cowboys, when they were really competitive, he had like 24 runs for 190 metres.
Yeah. But, Gertz, like, we talk about the
he's going to be gone next year.
We've said the same thing, haven't we? We've looked at the list and said, with that list of players, they should be well ahead of where they are.
Yes.
So it seems
maybe they're picking players. They're bringing players that come over there and feel comfortable in their own environment because they're bringing New Zealanders home. Yeah. So maybe what they need to do is bring some guys that aren't in their environment. They tried it with Hoffman, and they've done it without other people before. Yeah. Maybe they need to take guys that, you know, aren't going to be in their home environment and feel comfortable around family and friends are over there to do a job.
I relocate them to Gosford.
What's Hoffman doing next year?
He's going to Melbourne.
I reckon he might go back to the Melbourne Storm. Mm.
Oh, they've got room in the salary cap, have they?
Tyre Power scoreboard. I look up here in the New South Wales Cup. The Knights 6 lead Illawarra Zip after 5.5 minutes. Here every second of Triple M footy, wherever you are, just download the Triple M NRL app and do it now. I'll chat with Anthony Griffin, the Panthers coach, coming up very shortly. Saturday, Triple M NRL.
The Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday Triple M NRL with Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper.
Oh, what a tackle!
Beautiful tackle!
Triple M rocks the footy.
And it's lovely to have your company on this Saturday afternoon. Plenty to come. But we talk about commentary. Sterlo isn't here this afternoon. He's a little bit crook. He won't be in commentary. But Ryan Girdler will be joining Wendell Saylor and Maroon. One of the best in the business, obviously. And Maroon, has Maroon been sitting back and enjoying a bit of this?
The Triple M Footy Voice.
Yes, indeed. This is the competition to end all other competitions. I'm not sure if Maroon has been listening to it.
Maybe. No, he told me he has, yeah. Tony. He sits at home in his undies doing push-ups and listens to The Voice. Yeah.
But he said he hopes...
The image to be going on with
He hopes he can help these people come through and that, but I don't reckon that he needs to help them because, mate, they're pretty good.
We heard some great ones last week. If you're only hearing this for the first time and unaware, this is the idea. If you've ever dreamed of being a caller, and I know many of you have, some people obviously dream of running out wearing the green and gold or the blue or the maroon, whatever it may be. Others just dream of walking up into a microphone and just blathering away about those people who are doing the business themselves. I'm one of those. Are you? And if you are, you can have that dream fulfilled. You can become a legend of the microphone. Triple M offering a footy commentating experience. Plus, of course, you get tickets for you and a mate to the NRL Grand Final. Who knows? It could be the kickstart to a new career with the great Triple M. All you have to do is record your best rugby league commentary on your smartphone. Obviously, your best stuff that you've got. You head to the win page at triplem.com.au, as many have done before you. Now, we heard some entrants last week. They're pretty good. So I'm just going to go throw straight away now to some of the latest efforts.
Mo from Mortdale, New South Wales.
Only a couple of metres out from Newcastle line. It's still Newcastle 10, Dragons 0. Rain again to Marshall. Marshall to Witter. Witter puts a kick through now. Stuxon to Millens, picked up by Elliott. This will be another dropout for Newcastle. St George have a lot of pressure, but it's still Newcastle 10, led to Dragons 0.
Jeff from the Gold Coast, Queensland.
How are we, Naira? He's got a slow play the ball here. It's come to Cleary again. Cleary steps one. He's gone. He's broken through the line. And he's put RTS on the skates. And he's over for a hat-trick. Scintillating stuff. And that's potentially just ice this game for the Panthers.
Keith from Castle Hill, New South Wales.
Aaron Groom away from dummy half now. He'll work it in for Vadeau. And Vadeau will go to ground 46, 47, 48 metres away now from his own line. Hills District a bit slower up to play the ball. Shea Jarvis working it away now on the left-hand side. He goes first man. And it's the second man play out the back, Jonathan Grimes. Alex Nicholson now trying to get in the back line. He'll show some speed. He'll step inside. He will score. Under the post, Alex Nicholson now stepping off the left foot.
Callum from Helensvale, Queensland.
Luke back on the inside to Lilliman. Lilliman charges as per usual straight at the line, 40-metre line. Luke drifts out wide, dummies to Sean. Dummies, Sean Johnson, he's through. Luke, he's straight through the middle, third, coming up to the fullback, gives it to RTS and Roger scores between the posts. What an opening try by New Zealand. They're here to play.
Whoa, that was amazing.
What?
Had the edit. Special commentator, I think.
I'll tell you what, there's some really good entries from Queensland, and you guys, you know, might need a bit of a caller up there on a lot of Friday nights.
I think,
up there to help out.
I'm going to critique it properly here. I reckon Luke was the best out of a bad bunch then.
A bad bunch?
Yeah, I reckon.
They were good.
They were having a crack.
They were really good.
First couple.
I wonder where they're getting their video from. Obviously, some of them are a bit dated. I mean, Keith had Vito playing.
Doe? Someone had Doe. Who's Doe? Doe Ray Me.
Yeah. I know Mo from Mortdale had Mitch Rain still playing with the Dragons. But obviously they've just gone through their tapes, which is what you've got to do, and commentate what you see in front of you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I thought all those were very good.
The last one was the best, but
Jeff Hatt from the Gold Coast had a very slow build.
Yes.
Yeah. Very slow build towards...
Who's the guy that started the Penrith games, came in on the back of, one of the hardest names in the competition to pronounce, and we've all had a few troubles with Harawira-Naira.
Harawira-Naira.
And he came in. There you go.
You're a Penrith legend.
He came in off the top with it.
Yeah.
That was brave.
Yeah, sorry, a bit harsh here, but the last one was the best, I thought.
You have some terrific history with Harawira-Naira, which we might get to later on then in terms of commentary. Just hold that thought because I'm going to have to go there. There have been, as we said, plenty of them. I thought all those were very, very good. Here's one. Look, judge for yourselves, and then we'll have a chat about this man.
Well, another great day out here. Rabs. Rabs goes again. Goes again. Rabs. Rabs goes again. Alan goes again. Goes again. No. Over to you, Jackie. Your go.
Oh, thanks, Rabs. What's going to happen here now is lots of blokes jump on top of each other, moving underneath maybe somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, Rabs, back to you, Rabs. Come on, Rabs. Well, I'm not finished yet, Rabs. Come on, give us a bit more of that time. I need it, Rabs. Bye.
Wow. How many people is he annoyed to death at a pub?
Confirm or deny, Tony. Might have been on the glass barbecue that day. But I tell you what, flying.
Wow.
Was that just one guy?
So skillful, I know.
One guy
with multiple
voices. Personalities, yeah.
That was brilliant. All right, there you go. That's what you have to do, remember. Record your best rugby league commentary, send it to us. Go to the win page at triplem.com.au. You could be the person. You could get the tickets, of course, for you and mate to the NRL Grand Final. Could end up doing the business in front of a microphone on Triple M. Plenty to come. This is Saturday Triple M NRL for Bryden's Lawyers.
Triple M rocks the NRL for Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future.